All right, so this is another installment of the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. I am your host, Shelton Williams, and I have a good friend on the podcast, someone that I've known for a while now. And could you just let the people know who you are?
Hello, everybody. My name is Gabriel, and I used to go to school with Shelton. I am currently a personal trainer, business owner. I also work at a restaurant. I'm a podcaster. I have a lot of hats on. And so, yeah, me and Shelton actually went to the same school, which was a Christian-based school that we are going to call Hogwarts, because we don't want to throw its name out there. So if you ever hear us say Hogwarts, that's what we're referring to, our the school we went to. I'm sure it'll come up a lot today. But thanks for having me, Shelton.
Yes, for sure.
Really like what you've been doing with the premise of the show and everything. And I've been giving it some listens, and it's really been enjoyable.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much. So, so can you first, I know we just alluded to it, we went to a Christian school, but could you let the listeners know, your relationship to church? When was the first time you went to church, and what was your experience when you went?
Absolutely. So, my family grew up Catholic, but it kind of felt like a default religion, this is what our family was, so we'll just keep doing that. My mom was more or less more into it than my dad was, which I feel like a lot of households kind of have that same thing. But we were casual Catholics is what I like to call us. We went on the holidays and then some Sundays. I remember we would go pretty consistently at certain points, because I remember Daddy, the Pokemon cartoon, used to come on Sundays, and it used to come on when we went to our church service. And so they used to stick the tape in the VCR to record it for me so I could watch it when I get back. So I remember we were consistent enough to where that had to become a thing.
Right.
And then we stopped going, which I remember specifically why what happened. We went to, I think it was one of those long services, so a Christmas Eve service that lasts all night. And my dad was dragging his feet, my sister didn't want to be there, and I was a kid, so I was obviously I don't want to go to this thing for 6 hours. And so we went, and my mom was just in a bad mood the whole time because none of us wanted to be there. And I snuck in. I had a little Neopet, Tamagotchi, whatever those things were called. But I had a Pikachu one, to keep calling back Pokemon. it would make noise. And while everybody was praying, I was now's a good time to play with my Tamagotchi, because no one will know. And so it's dead quiet in here. from our direction, and mom was furious, and so we left and then just didn't go back anymore. And then a year or two after that, I went into Hogwarts School of Witchcraft Retreat, and went there from fourth grade until I graduated, so I was there a long time. And then after that, kind of dabbled back into Catholicism a little bit, because I kind of didn't like a lot of the things that were happening at the Hogwarts school. So I transitioned into that. And that was more or less because of a girl. I can own up to that, this is important to her. Yeah, I'll go to your church kind of thing. And I enjoyed it. I was a part of it. I did some stuff with the youth pastors and stuff like that. So I was involved and enjoyed it for the most part. But then after we broke up, it was kind of one of those things where Now that I continued to go for a little while, but I was this isn't for me. Maybe that was more of a her thing. And then that leads me to where I'm at now. I'm just kind of in church limbo, where I haven't really been going. It's been very, very, very casually, a couple times a year, if that. And so that's more or less where I'm at now.
Okay. So now I just want to rewind a little bit, because I know you talked about going to that Christian school, going to Hogwarts, so to speak, starting in fourth grade. And when you were there, I want to know, because my biggest thing when I talk to different people is I want them to think about their relationship with God in those formidable years, the years that you were in church. So what would you say your relationship with God was during that time from let's say fourth grade to 12th grade? I know that's a long, years there, and with everybody with the relationship with God, there's some ups and there's some downs. But can you just kind of talk about that for a little bit for me?
Yeah, I was pretty impressionable as a child. So whenever they, I trusted adults, they're an adult, they'll have my best interest at heart, And so back then I was like, oh, they said I should pray, so I'll pray every day or whatever. So I did. I was pretty good about it when I was young. Then I grew up and became a little more street smart and realized more or less, like, oh, maybe not every adult's going to have my best interest, or if something doesn't make sense, then maybe there's a reason. I kind of felt like Hogwarts focused a lot more on just learning aspects of scripture, not even like memorization type skills or learning certain factors, like learning the history of the Bible, as opposed to our relationship with God. And so I don't know if you would agree or disagree with that, but that's kind of how I felt going through that school system.
No, I definitely understand that.
So I feel like the focus was mainly on that, as opposed to, like, and yeah, it's kind of hard to, like, find a way to, like, do an activity or something that would, like, provoke someone to, like, have a close relationship to God, but, like, the memorization and stuff like that just kind of turned that into a chore, which I think was a lot of the issue is when that becomes a chore or homework, like, that shouldn't be something used. I don't know. I understood, like, why they would do it for people that would, like, want to pursue that route. Like, somebody who wants to be a pastor, yeah, should probably have all these factors in them, but, like, for trying to grow us in our faith, I just kind of felt like that was something they could have done better, was to put more emphasis on that as opposed to, like, all right, memorize these scriptures, memorize the scripture here. And so that kind of, I think, kind of rubbed a lot of people that way. I don't know if I'm articulating it correctly, but, like, that's kind of the vibe I got from it all.
No, I know what you mean. I think it's tough for a lot of Christian schools because I think, one, it's the way that we've always done it. So many Christian schools have, especially, you know, Christian schools out of, like, independent Fundamental Baptist churches, they kind of run their schools, like, similarly, okay? And so for a lot of times, for a lot of people, because, and this is tough for me because I went to Christian schools from kindergarten all the way up to college, and sometimes I can see the Bible not as the Word of God, but sometimes I can see it as a textbook. And so because of that, because of how you know, we were raised, it's like you don't even want to read the Bible because it just seems like classwork, right?
Yeah, it just seems like, why do I want to do my homework?
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly. You know, and so because of that, and I feel bad because I know that, you know, Christian schools have, a lot of them have good intent. They want people to memorize the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and do all those things. And I think that sometimes, though, because it's like forced, a lot of times we end up lying about, or, for example, I'll even say this. We get to the point to where because we see it as a textbook and because we don't really see it as the Word of God, we end up sinning in this, you know, while we're doing certain things that they're asking us to do. So let me put an example on there. I remember a time, it was my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And it was, we had a teacher who was older, and it was like the last period of the day, and we had our independent study classes there. And one of the things, all of us, we had, we were all taking different, you know, different subjects. But all of us had, of course, in our textbooks, you know, memory verses and things to memorize. And what a lot of us did was we'd go up to the teacher's desk, and we would have, like, an index card of the verse that we had to memorize. And we had that behind his laptop. So his laptop was shielding the index card that we had the memory verse on. And for a lot of people, they were saying they were memorizing a verse to get a good grade or to get it all accomplished. But honestly, they were lying. They were cheating. They're being deceptive over on a Bible verse. Now, if we think about this, like if we take it big picture, like in the time that we were in and you understand it, like it made sense at that time. Okay, we want to get a good grade. We want to make sure that we're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And move on. But when you take about it, like step back a little bit and you think about how we were cheating, we were lying, we were being deceptive over the Word of God, that shows that because of and I don't want to be mean to Christian schools, but because of how the Bible was presented to us, we've taken a sacred text and we have diluted it to the point that we don't even care that it's God's Word. We just want to get a good grade. And we were willing to do anything to get that accomplished.
I was talking to somebody the other day about it too, and sorry if my audio quality just got a lot better. I made like a little switch, so if you can hear me a little better, that's
okay.
Fine. I was talking with somebody the other day, and there was a year where I had to do our class had to read the Bible through in a year, and so like every class we had like a sign reading, but literally the criteria of getting a grade or a good grade or not was to come up and he say, "Did you do the reading?" And you go, "Yep." You know, like that was how they graded that. And so like I'd be surprised if anyone in the class actually did the assigned reading and didn't just say yes when the teacher asked us if we did the reading or not. I'm sure somebody did. I'm sure there were some people that actually did the reading and such, but like for the most part, I am fairly certain just from conversations I've had with people that nobody did the reading. So like you said, like with them trying to get us to do our homework and to learn about the Word of God, which is a great intent, they turned it into one of these things where it became a chore instead of something that we wanted to do. And like I think that was a big case. A lot of kids in the school, very few of us looked forward to that class, the Bible class. I think a lot of us more or less kind of, that was probably one of the ones we dreaded the most because it was, that one just felt the most hand-fisted and kind of it was probably the class that literally felt the most like a chore while I was there, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like something that was being forced on us. And not saying, like, don't have a Bible class, but I just felt like there are so many better, like devotional-style books that they could have gotten that I think would have been, like, a daily devotion kind of book that you did, like, every morning or every time you come to class. You have, like, a quiet 10, 15, 20 minutes to kind of read the little devotional and then fill out some, like, you know what I'm talking about. Those, they have, like, daily devotion books where you can just kind of, like, fill it out and go. And, like, I think that would have been way more beneficial for, like, a – and they have so – I feel like they have more for teenagers than they do for adults. You know what I mean? Like, there was just a plethora of options they could have had instead of these memorization-style books that they got us. And it was just, like, very, very – that was not a turnoff for me because I'd never blame God for the way these – they were teaching us, but that was kind of a, I think that was rubbed a lot of people the wrong way and kind of affected a lot of people because I know a lot of people that came out of Hogwarts that kind of joined the dark side and followed Lord Voldemort afterwards. I'm being dramatic, but like just kind of like don't go back to that church or just church in general, and I think a lot of it has to do with just kind of how it was the groundwork was laid out for them and us.
Yeah,
I think go ahead.
No, I think a lot of us don't even we don't realize is the Word of God is supposed to show us who God really is, right? And I think for so many people, because of how we were taught, like we don't even want to know who God is because one, the image that's presented to us, that's taught to us, makes us seem as if God, you know, is this oppressive, type of God, and it's like, man, if God's like this, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And then, because how they taught us these things, and it makes us not want to read the Bible, which makes us not really find out that the God that they presented to us doesn't really match up a lot of times with who the God in the Bible is. And if you know, and so I think, and I know that this is not going to happen. But I believe that what would help Christian schools in general is to kind of tear everything down from what you have grown up thinking that Christianity should be. Because there was a time before we even, you know, started all these things that you were still learning how to even build a Christian school up. And so now for a lot of people, they just have one set formula. And they don't want to change that at all. Like, this is a set formula. We've always done it. So this is how we're going to do it. Instead of really thinking and evaluating and say, okay, what can we do to be better? Like, what can we do in our Bible classes to make it better? What can we do? And we got to be honest with ourselves too, Gabe, too, because we got to be honest. Even if they did change certain things, because it's a Christian school, it's going to be tough to really get people to really be engaged anyway.
Most people were there because their parents are making them go there. Yeah. So it's going to get pushed. There's going to be pushback in general. I just think there definitely is a better way of doing things. You know.
Yes.
Which I think you're saying too. Like, obviously the kids are gonna be, they're gonna be kids. They're gonna be disruptive and they're gonna be, no, but it's not cool to care about what's going on in class, you know. So there's always gonna be that kind of stigma of it there. But
yeah, it so just felt I think like, we I should know. Be, yeah, we should be but, better, but at the same time be aware that even if you are gonna be better at what you do, there's still gonna be teenagers being teenagers, okay? And you got to be okay with that too.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. 100%. So, I mean, obviously, I think you do agree, though, that there are some changes to be made in the Christian school formula, and hopefully that...
Oh, yes.
I think there's a lot of, like, New Age megachurch pastors that I see on, like, my Instagram, my Facebook all the time that will probably dive into the Christian school format soon enough, and whatever their intent behind it is, whatever, that's their problem to go over, but I think they'll probably have a better, a more open-minded way about going about things. So I don't know the guy's name, but there's a young black guy that comes up on my Instagram all the time that is a pastor, and he's, I know they do like live stream of their church and stuff, and you might know his name more than I will, but
is it Michael Todd, by the way? I don't know if that's...
Maybe. The name, I probably honestly wouldn't recognize the name if you said it.
Okay.
But he's a young black guy, probably young 30s, high 20s, if that, maybe like 25, 26. And he's a very good speaker, so like he's captivating. And so I could see someone like him opening up a more modern, open-minded kind of Christian school. I could see that happening because there's a lot more mega churches popping up that are kind of more like the concert churches, you know what I'm talking about, where it's a very long music service and the music's great. It's like Hillsong kind of style music the whole time, and then they have a message, and then they do more music. But I could see one of those places kind of – I could see them doing a little bit better job of teaching of how to have a relationship with God as opposed to – making it a textbook, but who knows? I could be wrong. Like, we won't know until somebody does it, I guess.
Right.
And then once somebody does it, hopefully that becomes like the formula that that carries over.
Exactly. I think something too, and I know, I did not mean to kind of stay on Christian schools for a little bit, but I think that we should just for like a moment.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Like, you know, the point of this is kind of like to see what we as Christianity can like do better and like improve, so like people don't leave the church or people want to be more involved. And so like I think this is a big part of it. A lot of people that are especially involved in the church, like this is something that they're going to send their kids to or that they want to send their kids to. But if they had a bad experience, they're going to not want to do the same, you know. But so I think it is important, and it needs to be talked about a little bit.
Yeah, because my thing, too, when it comes to, like, Christian schools in general, and I think you can back me up on this, too, Gabe, is that I think a lot of times we get to the point to where we are all, I just posted an episode, a podcast episode with, you know, someone that we went to college with, I mean, to high school with, too, Seamus, and he said that a lot of times we get to the point where we're just posturing, right? And
yeah.
I think that for many of us, like in Christian schools and in Christian environments, we just pretend to be something that we pretend to be more than we are. And I think that Christian schools and churches sometimes kind of build this thing to where we're scared to really be honest. We're scared to really say, you know what, I didn't read my Bible today, or I didn't pray today, or I haven't read my Bible in 3 months, you know. And we're just scared to be honest and transparent.
Yeah. I was scared to have an opinion, like that didn't fall in line there. Like, and I know a lot of people felt that way, because anytime like somebody asked a question, so like I feel like where my education lapped the most for where we got our education, it was in the history department, history and maybe science a little bit, because I feel like there are gaps now that I am currently still finding out today. Like, okay, this is how that happened. This is how that happened. This is from the non-Christian perspective of how this happened. And so, like, whenever somebody raised their hand and, like, just offered them a little pushback, there was such a, like, the teachers, not all of them, some of them were open to it, but some of them just kind of felt like, what are you doing? We don't do that here. And then, like, which is an awkward tension in the classroom. We're just like, oh, please let this be over. And I don't think that's a healthy environment to learn in, like, especially in a history class that's, like, supposed to be relatively conversational. Like, all the history classes I took in colleges were borderline debate classes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so that's where, I don't know, that's a lot of where the disconnect, I think, came from.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that we get to the point, too, and I think it's because we undermine teenagers and we undermine
yeah.
kids to the point of like, just do what we say and just be quiet.
Yeah.
But,
it's
you
funny,
know, we
like,
have.
I hate when they do that in movies. It's like, when you ever see a movie where it's just like one of those universes where just adults never listen to kids? Where it's just like, a kid will be like, there's a murderer in my house. And the guy would be like, get out of here. You're just a kid. Leave me alone. And
yeah,
like,
that's Stranger Things, but keep going.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like legit how the school felt. Like, if I was just like, hey, so-and-so is smoking pot or whatever, like, or is it okay to smoke pot? They're just like, you're just a kid. You don't need to know the answer to that question. Or that's legit how it felt. And I watch these movies now as an adult, and I hate these movies. I'm just like, who wouldn't at least check for this kid? Like, what monster out there? If a kid came up to me and said, my parents are missing, can you come with me? Can you help me find a police station or something? I'm not going to be like, get out of here, kid. I'm late for work. You know, like,
yeah.
Who exists in that universe? But like, yeah, they now coming from that school and talking about it now, I'm like, oh, that does exist. People do exist like that.
Yeah. I think that we need to, and it's so much into this, because it's like, one, it's like you need to make sure that there are teachers there that have empathy, that really don't take themselves too seriously. Because I think that there was a lot of teachers, and I don't want to name any names, but there were some teachers, though, growing up that I felt like they took themselves way too seriously. And because of that, there was no connection between them and the students. So, you know, no wonder no kid wanted to have an honest conversation with them. And no wonder, you know, for some of these teachers, they didn't really have great classroom management skills because the kids didn't respect them. So it's like, I don't know, there's a lot of things that you realize that, you know, what went on, and you're like, man, I wish that, you know, the teachers and some of the people that, you know, we grew up with would have been more open to questions, open to those things. Because how many of our teachers do you think maybe the reason why they put us down when we asked questions is because they didn't really have the answer?
Exactly. And like, we're not, like, kids aren't dumb. Like, we can tell, like, when you're just, you know, pushing it aside because you don't have an answer. And like you mentioned earlier about how we were just posturing to some degree, like putting on a show, like, let me put my uniform on, put my hair nice and neat, and take off any jewelry I have that's not school approved, and make sure my skirt is the right length, etc. But and most people that went to public schools might not understand this, but like, we were, a lot of the kids at the school were staff kids.
Yeah.
And so like, one of my best friends in school was Seamus's brother. And I would go to, and their parents were teachers, and I would go to their house from time to time and see that, like, the rules of the school more or less, like, wouldn't be exactly the same as they follow in their household. Like, for example, certain TV guidelines or something like that. Like, they're by no means, nothing obscene was happening. Like, there was not any dramatic HBO shows going on online, but, like, I felt like even the teachers, to a degree, were posturing. And, like, this is the rules that we're enforcing, so let me pretend that I follow all these rules. Not all of them, because I can say with certainty that some of them in particular truly believed everything that was taught to us. And, like, their wives only wore this style of clothing. And, like, they didn't go to the movies because they didn't want to support big Hollywood movies and whatever. So, so I just think the posturing wasn't just us. It was also, like, the teachers and people above them, or just most of the church in general, because they also obviously had a church attached to Hogwarts. And so, like, it was just a very posturing environment where I just think it's a very noticeable posturing environment. You know, it's not even, like, a good act.
Yeah, it's and I think that we have, and my biggest thing when I'm talking about interviewing people that have left the church, and my biggest thing is I want to talk about the culture that we have created, because the thing is, because we've created this culture, we can also create a new culture, create something different. to where we don't have to be people that are pretending, you know? Because I feel like so many of us, we get to the point where we're like, oh, we're pretending to be this righteous person, pretending to be this godly person, pretending this. And I always wonder why. Like, what is the this short-term gain, I guess, in that case where people think more highly of you than they probably ought to. But then the long-term game is horrible because you don't truly have a genuine relationship with God. And, you know, something that I talk about this all the time, like, you know, I talk about this when I'm sharing the word of God, is like when Jesus was on the cross, right, when the one thing he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's a lot of different preachers and teachers that talk about why that happened, why God the Father, in some, like we learn that, oh, it's God the Father turning his back on God the Son because they had the sin of the whole world on him. So there's different interpretations of why that happened. But I want us to think about this, like Jesus, like, loved having a relationship with his Father, God the Father, so much that when at that point it felt as if God the Father wasn't with him, the closeness of it wasn't there anymore, it bothered him. It upset him. And I think so many times as Christians, we're okay with God not being close to us. We're okay with not having a close relationship with God. So, like, if for some of us, the only reason why we do the things that we do, we're like, well, I just don't want God to punish me, or I don't want God to do X, Y, and Z. But what if the only punishment that God gave you was that he's no longer close to you? For some of us, we're okay with that. We're like, okay, I can live my life without being close to God. You know, and but Jesus was on the cross going, no, I can't live like this. Like, God the Father, why are you here? Like, this is, why aren't you here with me? This is bugging me. This is bothering me. But so many of us as Christians, the punishment isn't enough that God's not with us anymore. The closest isn't with us anymore. That's not a big enough punishment. We want something else. Oh, if God takes this away from me, God takes that away from me. But his closeness to us, the relationship between us and God, should be so important that if the closest isn't there, that should bug us and that should bother us. But instead, what we care more about is having this posturing that we're doing, that to make people think that we have a good relationship with God, than to actually work on actually doing the work and actually have a good relationship with God. So that kind of bugs me and bothers me, but it's something that I can't just say that, you know, I'm not privy, like I'm not like a participant of. There were times in high school to where teachers would ask, like, oh, you know, have you read this book or have you done this? I'd be like, oh, I read that, and you know, and I didn't read it. Why was I doing all that? There was no reason for me to, because there were times when the teacher would talk about, oh, who has read their Bible through this year or who's done this, and I'd be like, oh, I did it. I didn't. You know, there's times when I didn't read it. You know, I've read the Bible through before, but not during that time or that period, because I wanted people to think I'm this really, really spiritual guy. And what ended up hurting me in the long run is, you know, I didn't find out till, I think, I don't know if you even knew this, but like when we went to the Wilds for our senior trip, right? So we went to the Wilds, we went to that stuff, and some, I don't know if I should mention their names on the podcast, but people that you know, I should say that. Someone who I played football with and I played basketball with, okay, they went and they told me, hey, man, I just want to, you know, and they were crying, they were in tears, and they were like, hey, I just want to let you know that I've been talking bad about you behind your back, and it's because of your spiritual walk with God, or what they were seeing. So what I was putting out there, I wasn't, and don't get me wrong, I was trying, like when I was in high school, like really trying to serve God and try to honor God, I was trying, but at the same time, I was a teenager, so there are times where I wasn't as great as I was putting out there at times. So even with that, I'm trying to get this little bit of gain from people. That wasn't really getting me anything in the long run, because some of the people even that I went to high school with were like, I don't want to hang out with this guy. This guy, all he wants to talk, do is talk about Christ. So it's like, why was I even posturing anyway? Because it wasn't even a good gain for it, you know? So it's so weird to think that that's the culture that we created in our Christian schools.
Yeah, I've been to Hogwarts since, and it seems a lot better than it used to be.
That's
I'm
good.
Gonna be honest. Yeah, so like there's a lot of changes they made. Like it's definitely like when we were there, it felt like a very sports first Jesus second kind of environment.
Oh yeah.
Like sports took a real big, and that we had good sports programs, like after, especially our football team. While we were there, like I think at least while I was there, we did like 2 football championships and 1 baseball, and basketball was, you know, we're not gonna talk about basketball. Basketball wasn't one of the ones we brag about. but that was a big part of the school, and like looking back at it now, I could very much see like, yeah, that was probably sports dominated the culture at the school, as opposed to what I'm sure the intent of the school was, which is to be a Bible based or a place where, you know, your children can get a fundamental Christian based religion or education, I should say.
Right. You know, and I think, and it's good though that they're looking at trying to do things better, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, unfortunately, I'm the oldest child, right? So I'm the oldest child here, so I know what it's like to be the guinea pig, and so sometimes we may have had to endure some of the things that we endured, so that, you know, the other people that go to the school now may have a better experience. You know, and so sometimes, you know, we had to be, and not just us, and they may have gotten better over the years, because I think that even the people that graduated, you know, years before us, they probably have stories to tell as well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, each of the generations are probably were used as guinea pigs. Say, okay, this didn't work, let's try this. This didn't work really, let's try that. And so it's good that they're trying to get better with that. You know, according to what you're saying, I haven't really been around the school too often. I'm just not, I just don't go to that city at all. There's no reason for me to.
I'm here. I still work out in this area a little bit, so I'm actually here now. So,
okay.
Not in Hogwarts, but I'm in that city.
Yeah.
So I'm here quite often. Like I've only been to been in and out of there maybe like a couple times a year. Like last year, they did an alumni basketball game that I came to, and I've helped out with a little bit of the basketball team, like with their strength and conditioning, because I have that background. And the kids there are super good kids. Like I knew some kids when we were in school that were not anything close to good kids that just were kind of like there because they were good at football or whatever. And like, yeah, you want to be involved and try to help them. But to a certain point, yeah, so they have to want to be there and not be there ironically, you know, like just, I'm just here to play football. Like, I think that kind of took away, that kind of caused the culture to change a little bit at the school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People were there
because
I'm just here because I'm good at football, and that's the only reason I'm here.
I think that happens so much, man. I think that happens so much is that, you know, we had, when we grew up, like there were people there that, you know, that probably, you know, weren't at the school or for the right reasons, so to quote unquote, you know, to say, you know, but I think that, you know, I'm glad that now that things have gotten a lot better. So that's great.
Yeah. Outside looking in, I still don't know all the ins and outs of everything, but it definitely feels like they've taken steps in the right direction. But before, it was just very much like, it felt like a giant, while I was there, it just felt like a giant to a degree. Here's why we're Republican kind of pitch to us in some classes. Like,
not just that school, because I went to Christian schools my entire life. And so just to kind of give you a background, I don't think you ever knew this too, is I went to 3 different Christian schools in 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. Yeah. Like during my high school years. So yeah. So that's a whole different story about why that was, but needless to say, yeah, I'm too much, I think. but I think that, yeah, I think that the schools, Christian schools in general, especially like conservative Christian schools, they really, and maybe they don't mean to, but they really teach you to be a Republican. Like they kind of get you to that point. So like it made sense to me when it made sense and it didn't make sense all at the same time. I'll say that. When Donald Trump was, you know, was the Republican candidate, it made sense on one aspect about why some of the people that I grew up with thought that he's the only option, he's the best option, he's, you know, the one that we should go with. And there's a part of me that doesn't understand it, just because morally, policy-wise, there are some things that I was just like, I think that as Christians we should not rally around this guy. I think there's one thing to vote for Donald Trump. I think there's another thing to, like, support everything he does. But I think that because of the conservative schools that we went to, the conservative churches that are a part of these schools too, it's like they teach you to be very Republican and very, like, this is how you do things. And even to, you know, and I don't want to be – even to, like, the preaching, if we're going to be honest. There's a lot of preaching that we heard that was very, like, right-wing centric, like – you know, their talking points and things that they talked about. And you're like,
100%, yeah.
Oh, my soul. Like, you started thinking back. I mean, I went to, let's be honest, I've heard sermons and I've heard, like, lessons taught where people were, like, using the, like, the Second Amendment, or they're using, like, different things and saying that a certain verse is in the Bible because of the Second Amendment. So I won't be like, wait a minute. When this verse was written, okay, America wasn't even, like, here. So trust me when I say that this verse wasn't written for the Second Amendment, or this verse wasn't written for your American philosophy, because I think a lot of times what people have done is they've equated being an American with being biblical, and so they see everything through this American lens. And you have to realize that, I mean, the Bible was not written to America. I'm sorry, guys. And I know this is a news flash for some of my audience here, but if you're listening and you think the Bible is written to America, I have some news to let you know that is not correct. Just so that you guys know.
America was not even in close to existence when the Bible was written.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And this kind of feels like they, and not just our school, but like in general from my experience, is a lot of picking and choosing what policies are they're supporting and what policies they're not supporting. Like, so like an example would be like, they want a government. It's more or less, I think they want to pick and choose when separation of church and state, what that means.
Oh yeah.
They want to pick and choose that, as opposed to just having the government separate, the church separate. And that's what's going to be. We're going to keep church out of the government. We're going to keep government out of church. And I feel like you can't have it lopsided. You know what I mean? Like, it's, especially because America's whole thing is, you know, different cultures, different. That's what we are. We're just the melting pot, as to be cliche.
Yeah.
And so the government needs to, which is why a lot of stuff doesn't get done. It has to service so many different walks of life and people, and pro-life people, and pro-choice people, and homosexuals, heterosexuals. Like, it has to service so many people that it is impossible to please someone who thinks that being American means being, you know what I mean? Like, you have to be a Christian to be an American.
Right.
Or that's just the way we were. And, like, that's what we were taught. That's literally what they told us, is that, like, we were founded on these beliefs, so this is the way it is to be an American, more or less. That's kind of how, more or less, we were taught in history, in our history classes, and in just our everyday walk of life there, that was kind of the way it was. And so, now they'll blindly follow the Republican Party, because that is what they were raised on, or that is because if you're not a Republican, you can't be. How can you be a Christian because you're a Democrat? They are pro-choice, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's like, that's an unfair thing to say. Like, people ask that all the time. Republicans now, that how can you support Trump and be a Christian there, which makes way more sense to me, like than other things. Like, because Trump has said a lot of things that are, like, on paper, sound like something that's very anti, like, biblical, you know?
Do you think that, okay, and I think we've talked about this before, but do you think that if we would have acted the way that our president, or as I would say, our celebrity in chief in the White House acts, you know, if we acted like that in our high school, would we have gotten any kind of grace as much as he's given grace?
No, we wouldn't have even met, because I would have got expelled. Like freshman year of high school, and I think you got there like my sophomore year maybe. So, like, I wouldn't have even met you. Like, it would have been ridiculous. And, like, I made this point now where, like, now that we have teachers on Facebook and stuff, like, it's, you know, opens up a whole new can of worms.
Oh, my soul. We can really talk on that if we want to.
That's a whole episode on itself. we like obviously I have to like unfollow certain teachers just because it like literally hurt my heart just to see like a lot of the people that like I more or less like saw in school and trusted and like were in charge of my education have so many bad like such a blinded and narrow-minded view of things. And like one example was when the you know grabber by the expletive came out during the election. And there was a stupid thing in school called a salmon. I think I told you about this before.
Yeah.
Where you would just kind of like clap your hands for whatever reason. You clap three times and then slap somebody's knees like a salmon swimming upstream. And like you didn't go up anybody's pants or nobody touched any privates or anything. Like it was just the thing. It was dumb. We were kids. Don't at us. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
and so like I did it one time. Everybody just said, guys did it to guys, girls did it to girls. It was more of a guy thing, but, like, the girls didn't hate it. Like, it wasn't, like, a thing that they complained about. And so one time I did it to somebody who was actually, like, a really good friend of mine. And then she told on me. And then I got in trouble. And I had to go home and explain to my parents what a salmon was and have them look at me like I was dumb, you know? And so I had to do it. That's something I had to do. And then, like, I went to school, and, like, the teachers kind of looked me sideways and stuff. Like, I was, like, a sexual predator. And I'm just like, what is going on? Well, whatever, it's fine. And, like, yeah, we had a six-inch rule in school, so we couldn't talk. We couldn't be within 6 inches of the opposite gender. So, whatever, I broke the rules. But now, looking back at it, and I remember seeing specifically teachers, some in particular, that defended those comments. And we're just kind of like, well, our president doesn't need to be doesn't need to have a spotless past, clean past or something. I don't remember the post.
Yeah,
It was in defense of those comments. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I
put
a six-inch rule in school and got – it was the closest I ever got to commenting on a post from somebody that was from school, you know. But I didn't just because it wasn't worth it, you know. I've never seen a Facebook – argument end in, I didn't see it that way. Good point, sir. Like, I never seen that happen. So I was just like, I just took the high road and just didn't do it. And so, I remember just being so frustrated. Like, how can you sit there and just pick and choose and then, like, not see an issue with it? Like, it just blows my mind. And, like, the crazy thing is, like, I don't think they think that they're doing it. So, like, I don't even, like, I'm not angry at them or anything. I just think that they don't even realize that, like, their blinders are on.
Yeah. I think, but then, you know, we've talked about this before too, is like when you say things like that, you lose all credibility. Like we don't trust anything you have to say, because this is the thing when I think that a lot of people who are Trump supporters, who support Trump no matter what he says or does, what you have to realize is when you have no critique and you always justify everything that he does or anything that Republican people do or say, then you've lost all credibility. We're not listening to you when you say things about Bill Clinton and the things that he's done, or you mention other people and their moral their moral compass is off, because your moral compass has to be off because you're okay with what this guy said. And you know how, like, we're living in a society to where if you said something, let's say, 10 years ago, they'll bring it up now and they're canceling you and all this other stuff. You know, sometimes I get different, like, notifications of things that I said. You know, on Facebook has those, like, memories, you know. But here's one memory that I'm okay with. I'm okay with this memory that I had about our celebrity in chief, okay? This happened on October 8th, 2016. And I don't post things like this anymore. I don't have the confidence that I had at this time.
The confidence or the patience or
yes,
I don't want to, like,
yes,
figure out my aunt's racist anymore. Like, I'm tired of those things happening. So, like, yeah, no, I get you.
Yeah. So I said this, okay, and I want the podcast listeners to listen. I said this on my Facebook, October 8th, 2016. I wrote this. I recently saw a picture going around of Mike Huckabee sharing a comment someone made about Donald Trump. The comment essentially said that Donald Trump was like a doctor with no bedside manner. He may hurt your feelings, yet he is the only person telling you the truth. I cringed internally as I saw Christian, after parent after parent share this meme. Donald Trump has called women that he doesn't like fat pigs, slobs, and disgusting animals. He called a Miss Universe contestant Miss Piggy because she gained weight and called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. He also said that there is no way a flat-chested woman could be a 10. This is a guy who's telling the truth. A guy with just bad bedside manner? I want to see what you do if your son walks up to a woman and calls her Miss Piggy because she gained weight. Or what would you do if he walked up to a Latina woman and called her Miss Housekeeping? Would you just laugh? Would you say it was no big deal? Yet you find nothing wrong with voting for a man who says all these things. Now we hear his most recent comments, comments he made at almost 60, comments where he said he has no problem grabbing a woman by, you know, private parts, comments so horrific that I cannot believe the now defense of this man. So I asked, where do you draw the line? How much can your conscience handle? He's talked bad about military personnel who commit suicide. He's degraded women's bodies to sexual objects. He's talked bad about people groups. This is not funny. This is not acceptable. It's disgusting how Christians could not rally around a Mormon in 2012, yet rally around this man and his comments. I dropped my mic, okay? So
why is that particular belief, you know, the same-sex marriage and the abortion, right? Like, that is a big Christianity Republican belief, at least in from where we went to school, you know. Why does that affect your moral compass more than derogatory comments towards women or racist comments towards Latinos or African-Americans or just overall, like, being a bad person? Like, why does those things outweigh the other things? Like, what is your line? Like, where does it make sense to you? Because, you know, on those end, if we're thinking about the biblical perspective, like, I didn't like Hillary much either, but, like, she was more, she didn't say anything racist, and she didn't say anything, you know what I mean? She didn't say anything bad about women, because, I mean, she is a woman, so that'd be really dumb for her to do. But, so, like, that's the two right there, like, where do you decide, like, what's more important than the other, you know, like, why, it just comes down to, I think, just, I'm Republican, this is how we vote, I'm a Republican, so, like, I don't want to say sheep, but, so I'm not going to say sheep, but sheep, like, to a certain degree, and I think it's both parties that have that same, any political thing, most of us are Protestant of what our parents were. You know,
that is the truth.
If I'm being honest, most of us are just my parents were this is how they taught me, and this is what makes sense to me because this is how they taught me. I luckily like had my parents who were more left, and then I went to a school that was more right, which I think has helped me kind of become more of a somewhere in the middle individual that leans more one way or the other on certain things. But for the most part, people are like, if this is how you're raised, this is the kind of school you're going to be put in, this is what your parents believe. That's more or less how you're gonna make your decisions, which is, you know, to a certain degree I get it, but it's unfortunate because you'd like to be able to have the opportunity to form your own opinions on things, which we do after a while, but it's hard to formulate your own opinions after you brought up some way, you know.
Yeah, I think there's something I don't know. Have you watched the movie Bandersnatch that's on Netflix?
I have not. I just finished watching a few things on Netflix, but I'll add it to my list if it's good.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, have you watched, like, any kind of Black Mirror episode or anything like that before?
I've seen Black Mirror, yeah.
Yeah. So Bandersnatch is, like, a Black Mirror, like, movie. And it's, like, this interactive, like, movie to where, like, you tell the character, like, what to do.
Yeah.
Throughout
it's
the entire,
Mirror episode,
like...
It's a Black Mirror episode, isn't it?
Yeah, from yeah.
The same people, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it's from the same people here, and they created this, and it's such a good movie. Like, you were... you basically... You're telling him what to eat for breakfast. You're telling him what music to listen to, and there's so many like scenes. Like you can literally be there for hours watching this film, right? So there's a part. The reason I brought it up because there's a part in that movie where it says where someone's saying that we're all living in Pac-Man's world. You know what PAC stands for? PAC, Program and Control. He's Program and Control Man. The whole thing's the metaphor. All he can do is consume. He's pursued by demons that are probably just in his own mind, right? So they're going through this whole thing. It's just like it's Program and Control. And if you think about it, a lot of times I felt like, you know, when you are in certain communities, it's like they want to control you. It's like you are Pac-Man to a sense of that. It's like they want to control you. They want to sit back and say, I want you to be angry about this. I want you to be upset about this. I want you to be like this. And so you got to get to a point of really kind of controlling your own emotions, because people will try to get you to vote a certain way, live a certain way, do a certain thing. Like, you have to live and abide by these codes, and it's almost like you are Pac-Man, where they're controlling you. You're controlling your every thought, controlling your everything that you have to do this, have to do that, have to do this. And I feel like our society kind of controls us to saying, okay, you have to think like this, you have to move like this. And I think that sometimes we are Pac-Man in our own different ways. And I really want you to watch Bandersnatch, and I hope you can find this scene. This scene, you'll only see this scene if you pick one particular choice. So it's just, anyways, it's too much. But if you watch it, you'll see that this guy is talking about Pac-Man, and you're going to be like, wow, like, that is a metaphor for, like, our reality. Now, no one is literally controlling us, so to speak. I don't believe that we're living in a simulation. However, I do think, though, that there, I know, right? But I do think that there are people who are trying to control you, are trying to control us. And I think that, unfortunately, the way we grew up, it's like they were really trying to control us into being one type of person. But it is okay for us to sit back and say, you know what? I want to be my own man. I don't want to be controlled by you guys. And I think that's something that we all need to fight back, is this idea of them saying you have to be one certain type of Christian or one certain type of person.
Be your own person. If there's anything you can take from this, it's just, you know, be your own individual.
Yes.
No need to be cookie cuttery. Just be your own person. Follow your own faith. Learn from, you know.
That's the truth. Like, we got to get to a point of just being ourselves, man. Like, I'm not going to be like, and this is why I call it the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast, because I'm not the person that people expect me to be. You know, I was raised to be the black guy on Fox News. Okay. I was raised to be that guy. It's the truth. You know, if I was really going to abide by what they wanted me, like, right now, I could be, I know for a fact that I could be way more successful if I would have been the Pac-Man, if I would have been controlled by them, and being the black guy that people can use and say, well, I have a black friend and he thinks differently, you know. And I had that before. Like, I've had people that came and used me as examples, saying, oh, I have a black friend and he thinks this, so that is
a Republican, or
yeah. And it got to a point when I began to realize, one, I was being used, and two, I don't really believe and agree with these things. So you know, I'm not, some people ask me all the time, like, what are you, Shelton? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? I say, no, I'm Shelton. And the reason why I say that is because, like, there are parts of my belief system that would side with conservatism, and then there's part of me that would, you know, go side with what people call liberalism. But I think that at the end of the day, you have to be yourself. And when you are yourself, they can't put you in a box. And that's something that I'm happy that my thoughts and the way that I think about things, I'm not being placed in any kind of particular box, and I'm doing what I believe that that God would be pleased with at the end of the day. And some of the things that God is pleased with may fit a Democratic agenda, and some things that I believe God is pleased with would fit under a Republican agenda. But yeah, that's just what I think about it.
No, I agree. And, like, unfortunately, like, I got to get going here in a moment, just because I got to get back to work. I have a 2:30 appointment coming up soon.
Ooh, snap, sorry.
But no, it's totally okay. I would love us to, like, have, you know, a part two if we could, because we dived into mostly a lot of political things and some other, mostly Hogwarts. But I would love to dive into more about, like, my actual, like, experience in, like, inside church and at some other time, if you're willing to have another talk, you know, the sequel.
Yeah, for sure, man. We got to have a part two for this, man. We do.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Hopefully you can come on mine soon. I've been talking to Dylan, my co-host, and we just had a few people on the other day. We're going to try to do a few of ourselves just to kind of keep that flow going, and then have another few people on. And I already told him, like, I want you on to
yeah, kind man. Of
talk some nerdy stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So I told you, don't put me in a box, okay? Don't say I'm trying to get a.
No, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of did that. Well, I was thinking more like of a marketing way. Like, okay, how can we like figure out why we're having them on? But I was like, oh, you know what? Whatever. We can do whatever. We can just talk about the Avengers or whatever it ends up being. But yeah. For those who don't know, I have a podcast called Casually Nerdy. It comes out every Wednesday. It's on anywhere you can find a podcast. Shelton will be on it hopefully very, very soon, within the next month or so, if we can work out our schedules. But because we usually record kind of late, so it would depend on some other things. But okay, we'll figure it out. But we'll definitely want you on.
For sure, man. Like I told you, I watched that new Spider-Man movie, and I think that was great. All right? Into the Spider-Verse, I mean, that was an amazing
film. I think it could be nominated for Best Picture, but
it really could. Oh,
more than Black Panther, but we just did an Oscar episode about it, so I was very angry that Black Panther
would
be Into the Spider-Verse. But, yeah. I won't get on tangent about it because I was very angry
yes,
about it.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll talk about it on your platform.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. Thank you, man. All right, bye.
All right, bye.
All right, guys, man. That was my good friend Gabe. Gabriel, I'm so happy he was on the podcast today. The biggest thing is and when you guys are listening to us, I want you guys to think about being your own person. And I think that so many of us, we get to the point where we think that this is the only way to live, you know, Christianity. Christianity has to be done like this. And I want us to think about, you know, expanding our minds and thinking about, okay, hey, you know, just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I have to be Republican, or just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I have to do X, Y, and Z. There are some things, and I mentioned this quote before, and I'm going to mess up the quote now because I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was David Platt who said that we've got to evaluate our Christianity and to think about what is American and what is actually biblical. Because for so many of us, man, I don't know, you know, if you're the same with me, but I grew up, and, you know, thinking that to be a good Christian was to be American. And I'm learning that there are certain things that are biblical, but they're not, you know, American-based. Like, it's not this American thing, and there's some things that are American that I don't have to do to be a good Christian. So I'm learning those things, and I'm still learning them now, and I'm still trying to unlearn some toxic theology, unlearn some things that I was taught previously. So guys, if I can be of any help, of any encouragement to you guys, I really want to be a guy here who is encouraging you guys to be yourself, to learn for yourself, read your Bible to yourself, and be the person that God wants you to be, not the person that your parents want you to be, not the person that even sometimes spiritual leaders want you to be, but be the person that God has created you to be. And so thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for being listening, you know, every week. And I'm so excited for what we have in store. So, but if you listen to this podcast and you're like, man, that guy is weird, you're absolutely right. If you're listening to this podcast, you're like, man, that guy's really a pastor's kid, you're absolutely right as well. This is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Thanks for listening.